on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Snarly, gonna cut you down.
Go tell. Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct. Coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making. A major piece of, in this case, bipartisan legislation has just been proposed and is going to be submitted to the Senate. It's the Electoral Count Reform Act and a companion bill, the Enhanced Election Security and Protection Act. What do they mean? What do they entail? Ever since that debacle with Trump saying that Pence has to do the right thing, said he should be hanged because Pence didn't overturn the electoral count, and it took one senator and one congressman to call for a vote, roll call vote, and it turned out that 140 or so Republicans in the House wouldn't certify Joe Biden. To put an end to that stuff, they've come up with a couple of bills. And two of, frankly, my least favorite senators are the sponsors, but there are a number of others. Joe Manchin for the Democrats and Susan Collins for the Republicans. When I saw that, I thought, now, wait a minute. Joe Manchin's this guy that's tanked Biden's agenda. Soft infrastructure. I don't want him. And Susan Collins claims that she didn't know Brett Kavanaugh was lying to her during confirmation. Listen, Collins, you're elected to the Senate. You're supposed to have something between your ears, okay? If you looked at that confirmation hearing, anybody with half a brain would look at that and realize that he had not promised to do anything that you think he'd promised to do. Well, under this new act, though, it has so far, 9 Republicans, as well as all Democrats, and some of the Republicans, you have Romney, Murkowski, Portman, and of the Democrats, you have Sinema. Okay, she is Manchin's fellow traveler and running dog. But you also have Chris Murphy and Chris Coons, and a lot of people I have a lot of respect for. So there's something to it. Here's what it does. It says flat out that the vice president's role is ministerial. He has no authority to overturn anything. It says that. Secondly, it says that 20% of each chamber has to object to the electors to trigger a vote in the House. 20% in the House is over 80 people. And 20% in the Senate is 20 senators. That's a lot of senators. That's a lot of congressmen, a lot of them. You don't have just a clown like Josh Hawley and a clown like Paul Gosar saying we should do it. It also amends the Presidential Transition Act to say that if there is a contest in good faith, each party will get resources in the transition period, depending how it comes out. It says that the state's governor submits the slates of electors. Right now, it's really up to secretaries of state, election commissions, this one and that one. It does provide that the states can provide otherwise, but right now it's the governor in this legislation. It provides for expedited review of all this, a 3-judge panel and direct appeal to the Supreme Court. It repeals an 1845 law that permitted state legislatures to override the popular will. Now, the Enhanced Protection Act provides double penalties for people who threaten or intimidate election officials, poll watchers, voters or candidates, and it gives the Postal Service guidance to improve mail-in ballots, the delivery of mail-in ballots, and it reauthorizes something called the Election Assistance Commission for 5 years. Provides that electronic election records have to be preserved. And as I say, there are a number of Republicans and Democrats who support it. All the Democrats, I think, support it, but ones that are willing to co-sponsor it, Chris Murphy and Chris Coon, are both liberal Democrats. Yes, it's Manchin and Sinema also, but there's plenty of votes there. And on the Republican side, Romney, Murkowski, Portman, and Collins, and so on. Here's the problem. There are only 9 Republicans who have signed on. You need 10. Moscow Mitch can filibuster it. What did Moscow Mitch say? He's a toad. You know he's a toad. And what he said was, this is very constructive, and we will examine it. Well, what that means is they'll go through it, and they'll try to yank out anything that could stop them from screwing up an election and throw in other things that they want. We'll see. We'll see. It's going to be submitted. If this only gets 59 votes and doesn't get through, that confirms in my mind that the Republican Party has drifted to fascism. Right now, there are 59 votes, apparently. But it's all very good. Dick of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Dick?
Well, I'm going to repeat myself on something I said yesterday to Diamond Poot. A call from former President Trump to Robin Voss equals more cash for Gableman. You know, this has turned into a joke, and it's a real bad joke. And Voss, instead of saying the right thing like somebody like Raffensperger at least did down in Georgia, oh, I understand his concerns. No, you should have said something to the effect, no, you lost, and you're costing the state of Wisconsin over $1 million already with this, you know, just total BS. But, of course, Voss doesn't have, you know, the nats to do the right thing whatsoever. And he just goes right along with the big lie, some more, let's have some more of this. I mean, how can people down that part of the state vote for that problem?
Yeah, well, the problem is, you're making a very good point, Dick. He represents part of Racine County, the Mount Pleasant area where there's Foxconn. So he was a major Foxconn supporter. More to the point, in 2020, you remember there were some April elections, and COVID had just hit, and people were scared, and people were buying groceries over the phone and having clerks at the grocery store put them in their trunk, and then they put them in their garage to make sure that they didn't have viruses on them, because we falsely felt that it was passed by touch rather than by air. Well, Robin Voss showed up at the elections in 2020. Evers tried to postpone them because a lot of people weren't going to vote, very low turnout. Voss said, oh, there's no problem. I'm going to be at the polls. I'm going to volunteer at the polls. He showed up in a hazmat suit. He looked like a spaceman on the space shuttle. He could have been walking through, turpentine. I mean, this guy could have been walking through a smallpox cloud, and it couldn't have gotten to him. He was like a beekeeper. The guy had stuff all over him, lurching ahead. And people were lined up without masks, because back then they didn't know that they needed them. In these long lines, very low turnout. He has always done things hypocritically. Always done things. There's no danger at all. I'm going to show up at the polls. And he shows up in a hazmat suit. Okay? Secondly, what he's done here is this. Dick has just pointed out, and it's true, you're not going to believe this, a week ago, Trump called Voss, Robin Voss, and he goes, Robin, the Supreme Court just said that you can't use drop boxes, so therefore the last election was illegal, therefore convene the legislature and give it to me. And, you know, first of all, that's Looney Tunes. Drop boxes were used in 2016 when Trump was elected. If I would have said, oh, really, Trump, you want me to overturn the 16 election too? What, only the 20 election? And first of all, there's nothing retroactive about it. And secondly, there weren't enough votes in the drop boxes. given the relative proportions that have changed the election. Do you want me to overturn my election, me, Voss? Do you want me to overturn statewide elections, every election, or just your election or your unelection? And he didn't do that. And, you know, as Dick points out, Raffensperger stood tall. He just said, no, I'm going to certify it. That's the law. Trump weaseled, got down on his knees. Like one of the Engas, I forget if it's Kapenga or Kunyenga, one of the Engas, who said that I am but a bobby pin to Thor's hammer. What man says that to another man? Come on. You know, I'm a bobby pin to Thor, your Thor's hammer, and I genuflect and I wear socks with your pictures on. That's what he said. These are sick people. They're sick as hell. So Voss just weaseled. Oh, yeah, I understand your concerns. Absolutely. I wish I could. I wish. No. No, that's not what he should say. You should stand tall and say, look, I voted for Trump. He didn't make it. Next time, better luck with somebody else. The fact is, Ron Johnson, even, who continues to say that there was a concern with the election, when he was taped and he didn't know that he was being taped in a Republican event, said, no, Republican candidates got 50,000 more votes than Trump. Congress, for the legislature, they won very handily. People didn't want Trump. He pointed that out. Trump never asks to overturn all the elections in the state, only his election. So Dick is exactly right. And the other thing that he's right is, now Voss, to appease Trump, will give Gableman more money. He'll say, okay, Gableman, you know you're getting money to beat the ethics violations against you at taxpayer expense, but keep up the good work. Hey, these are my tax dollars. These are your tax dollars. These are everybody's tax dollars. And we just got another infusion courtesy of Trump. That's why we need this Election Protection Act. Problem is, it may be filibustered. Stand by. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. We had a quarrel. Welcome back to Management Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, I'll tell you what, new poll out, public approval of the Supreme Court is now dropped to 38%. A year ago, it was 60%. Even though it was a right-wing court a year ago, it was 60%. Now it's 38. It's dropped 22 points in 1 year. It's dropped 22 points for a lot of reasons, not just the overturning of Roe v. Wade, but the fact that they consistently are ruling as a partisan court to benefit one party, the Republican Party. Now, let's unpack this a little bit. One of the most ominous things that they have in mind is that they are agreeing to hear a North Carolina case. We discussed it a little yesterday, but I want to expand on something, probably in October. And let me tell you what it takes in the U.S. Supreme Court to hear a case. There's nine justices. Four justices can agree to that the court will hear a case. It doesn't take a majority. And it's called, it's a fancy legal term called a petition for writ of certiorari. Know that Latin word. It means to make more certain. In other words, to clarify the law. Four of them can say, we're going to hear it. What that means is at least four of them would go the way that I think they're going to go, which is to overturn a prior decision and say that the state legislatures have some sort of sacrosanct status in the Constitution, can do anything they want in elections, in their states. They can't be second-guessed or vetoed by their governor. It can't be overturned by their own state Supreme Court. Do whatever they want. They don't have to have elections. They can just appoint electors in the legislature and so forth. Now, that is not constitutional. More fundamentally, there's nothing in the Constitution that lets the Supreme Court overturn anything. Anything. 200 years ago, in a case, Marbury versus Madison, they just said, we have the power. And nobody said anything about it. The country was very young. It was 200 years ago. And it was a case involving corporate status. Nobody paid attention to it. Then they lay in the weeds for a couple of decades. But then they surface with cases like Dred Scott, the Dred Scott decision. You heard about that? Where they ruled, they overturned everything, and they said that if you're an African-American person, this is 1859, before the Civil War, you were not a free American citizen no matter what. Dred Scott had escaped and gotten away into a free country or a free state, and then he got kidnapped. Well, people weren't going to put up with that, and the Dred Scott decision was one of the things, not the only thing, that was the spark that set off the Civil War. But throughout the rest of our history, they've continued to do it. When Franklin Roosevelt was elected in 1932, there's a Republican Supreme Court like now. They said that the New Deal was unconstitutional. The New Deal. The New Deal that led to Social Security, led to child labor laws, you know, led to labor unions, all unconstitutional because they said so. The way Roosevelt handled that, and he had a couple of things on his side, he said, okay, I'm going to appoint five more justices right now, and then we'll overturn you. And then they chickened out. But that was because Roosevelt had a majority in the Senate, and popular opinion was with him. Right now, our majority in the Senate of 50 depends on Manchin and Sinema. So it's a fake majority. And right now, the average person in this country is split. Our country is split. We're not unified, like during the Depression and the Second World War. We're not unified, and I can tell you that there is nobody probably in the state of Wisconsin who is thinking about the North Carolina case in October in the Supreme Court, except me and you. It's not on everybody's radar. It won't get on their radar until they find out they can't vote for president. Because these are gerrymandered Republican legislatures. And it'll happen in Wisconsin. Already, Michaels and Clayfish have said this should be decided in the legislature. They both said it. And right now, I think Evers is going to win, but nothing is certain in this world. Then they're going to sit back, and what's going to happen when you can't vote for president? Well, the people, the Republican gerrymandered legislature, will put in a Republican electors. They'll put in Trump or DeSantis. So half the state will say, that's fine. Then the other half of the state, which is us, will say, no, we're the patriots. We're the Americans. We're the people who stand up to communism and fascism and organized crime. There's only a few left in the Republican Party. Cheney and Kinzinger. So public approval of the Supreme Court has fallen to 38%. If this unravels sometime over the next 25 or 50 years, you'll see an upheaval. I hope you don't see violence, but I won't be around for it. And I want some relief right now. I want relief right now. I want some honesty right now. And if you think that, let me tell you, you think this is only happening in the United States and Brazil. They have a guy named Bolsonaro. He's getting killed in the polls. He's the president. He's bad news. He himself is a fascist, Trump supporter. He is now saying the upcoming election is rigged, and he's the president. He's preemptively saying it. He brought in, it's 75 days away, 2.5 months. He brought in diplomats from all the embassies down there to tell them that, A, it's rigged, he's not going to go out of office, and he will involve the military to stay. He's already telegraphed it. He's already signaled it, that there will be a coup down there, and he said it right now. And that's what Trump has said. And that's what a handful of fascists in the Republican Party have said. But what Kevin McCarthy's majority in the caucus, he has a caucus of about, what, 205 people or something? And 140 or 50 of them voted not to certify Joe Biden. It's going on right here. Take a look in the upcoming months what happened in Brazil. He's already announced I'm involving the military. It's rigged without any evidence because it's not. And this this fascist, this demagogue will stay in power. And it's going to take force down there to get him out. And that's wrong. Going to a break. The lines are open. I know you just came on the line. Do not hang up. I will get back to you right after the break. 844-967-2789.
Amazes me that these guys don't seem to recognize it, and the women that support this stuff. I mean, the women should be seeing now that the Republicans want to put the women folk back in their place, and it doesn't matter. You're 10 years old, you get pregnant. If that pregnancy kills you, that's the will of the Lord, and that's just not the way I see things. I mean, these guys are trying to roll this country back to, you know, 17th century England, where you got your tongue branded for speaking against the king or speaking a blasphemy. I mean, that crack open a history book, folks. I mean, that
Mark, that's great. You know, Mark knows a lot of history. I really appreciate Mark's calling in, and I'm going to hit two things on the Roman Empire. You know, it lasted from roughly 100 BC to, well, 400 or 500 AD. It lasted hundreds of years, but it did fall apart. I don't look on us as an empire that's going to fall apart. Our Constitution is unique. Our Constitution spells freedom, and ultimately people should always vote for freedom. Marx also correct. I don't know if you knew this, but throughout the 19th century, you couldn't vote for the senator. The state legislatures pick the senators. So our two senators right now would probably be Robin Voss and LeMahieu, the two leaders. And that's just the way it was. And when they gerrymander themselves, they have perpetual senates. That was a progressive innovation by Fighting Bob La Follette's group, the Progressive Party, to have direct election of senators. Now, we've had direct election of presidents for 200 years. The Republican Party, and there are many of them, who will not support direct election of senators even. Now they won't support direct election of presidents. So the question is, what do we do? And the answer, Mark, is there's no margin of victory that they will recognize. As you point out, they say that they were large and in charge, and that is fascism. And I've said many times before, fascism creeps in on little cat's feet, one brief at a time, one lawyer at a time, one briefcase at a time. It's happening to us right now. So anybody out there who thinks I'm going to vote Republican because I don't want presidential elections, because if we have them, we might lose, and Voss will make sure we win, that's sick. That is not America. That is not our Constitution. Going back to the lines, next in line is Robert of West Allis. Thanks for calling, Robert. What's in your mind today?
Good morning. We talk about a lot on this show about the lawyers with their briefcases and, doing all the support for the various things. What we don't talk about is the lack of action enough. You know, whether it's Merrick Garland, whether it's Christopher Wray, whether it's Josh Call or Damon Nessel. Mish?
Right. Yeah, no, and you made the point before of putting pressure on these prosecutors, and you're right, and that's another cautionary point that I'm very glad you just raised again, is this. It doesn't do any good. I don't know, Robert, you came back on the line. I think you may have been cut off inadvertently. So let's put Robert back on, Connor, if we can. Yeah, there we go.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, go ahead, Robert. I want to give you your say.
Yeah, the point I wanted to make is every time we don't take action, whether it's Iran-Contra, whether it's, you know, the $6 trillion we spent on, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan, or Iraq was the war that we lied into, and then now this, January 6th, every time we don't hold people accountable, things seem to get worse. So I guess the point would be with these AGs, with the head of the FBI, with the Attorney General, you know, they took an oath to protect the Constitution, whether it's the state or the U.S. Constitution, and to uphold the law. Now, if they're scared or they're cowards and they're afraid to act because they might have threats, well, then they need to step down and resign to have someone who has courage, you know, and the belief in their convictions to uphold the rule of law and hold these people accountable. The reality is, you know, we're dealing with domestic terrorists. We're dealing with people that support them. We're dealing with coup plotters, you know, and checking out or not taking the hard decisions for political reasons really shouldn't be an option. They need to do their job or they need to resign.
Yeah, that's... Well said. And you know, there are prosecutors. Fannie Willis in Atlanta is terrific. She's had death threats, and frankly, her children have. And she's convened a grand jury to investigate Trump's extortion of Raffensperger. On the other hand, you have Alvin Biggs up in New York, who took a dive. They had a criminal indictment, or actually the charges, ready to go against Trump. He came into office and said, rip him up. We couldn't win. And the two of the best prosecutors in New York said, come on. We're experienced at this. We got to do it. He wouldn't do it, and they resigned. They resigned. Somebody got to him. There's got to be a grand jury in New York that investigates him, investigates his assets. You can't do something like that and get away with it, but apparently he is. I think you're right with the others. People are getting threats. Liz Cheney has a 24/7 security. So does Adam Kinzinger. Cassidy Hutchinson is in a witness protection program because Trump gets up and encourages violence. He'll say, you know, it's a racist attack against me is what he said. But you know what to do. This is all code words. You know what to do. You know what to do. He'll say to his supporters, as a protester, beat the hell out of him. I'll pay your attorney's fees. He is violent. He is violent. He calls witnesses and says directly, but he'll have somebody else call and say, a certain person knows you're going to testify. He knows you'll do the right thing. He reads transcripts. That's a mafia call. That's a drug cartel call. So I don't think Garland needs any more evidence. I mean, come on. Come on. He has the videos. He's seen the transcripts. How much more evidence do you need? The fact is that Trump instigated a coup. And people got killed. A woman got trampled to death. Guy got shot. A guy, an officer, got his head crushed. Eye poked out, finger ripped off. People went up there armed to kill the vice president and the speaker of the house. What more do you need? Either lead or get out of the way. Going back to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Wisco Paul?
I got great callers today. A little bit of a rant about the GOP, why you need to vote. They are nowhere to be found for climate change, the environment. They want to privatize Social Security, Medicare. They took away women's rights. They got a new thing, spend but don't tax. So tax cuts for the rich is going to make it harder to vote. They're still investigating the 2020 election. It's a waste of time and money and effort. And I could go on and on about this GOP. And it's ridiculous. But I do have a question. Well, first of all, you got to get out and vote in this primary for Senate. I've said that for the last 3-4 days. I know who I'm going to vote for, but it doesn't do any good for me to endorse anybody. But who is the working party that came out and endorsed Barnes, I think it is? Work business. I don't understand why they're involved in an election. That's my final question. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Paul. Well, you said a mouthful. You said some very good things. And on part of what you said, I want to say something to friends out there, maybe independent or even moderate Republicans. Our ultimate objective is unity. We're all Americans. We are divided. And Abraham Lincoln, who was a Republican president, the first Republican president, that a house divided itself cannot stand. Abraham Lincoln said that. So I want to get back to unity, but we can't get back to unity if this QAnon Trump cult has taken over the party. That's the purpose of attacking it, not attacking good Republicans like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. Number two, the Working Families Party is a progressive party that has embedded itself in the Democratic Party, and they spend their time attacking the Democratic Party and, frankly, running primary opponents to Democrats. They've made an endorsement in this race. They've done it before, and you've had a number of prominent progressives come in and make the endorsement. I have stayed away from endorsing anybody on this air. I just want to stimulate everybody to go out to vote. And Wisco Paul, I respect your private decision of who you're going to vote for, but I'm going to say this to everybody. Get out and vote on August 9 and vote for the person that you think is most likely to beat Ron Johnson. Because there are 8 candidates, and I know about 5 or 6 of them, and these are all good people who would be absolutely qualified and good, strong senators. Some have more money than others, some have better name recognition than others, but they all got their money honestly, and they all are Democrats, very good Democrats. So I think, you know, in defense of Mandela Barnes, I'll say that Working Families Party's endorsement, Mandela has a much longer history in the Democratic Party than just that party. Alex Lazary, a strong Democrat. Sarah Godlewski's a strong Democrat. Tom Nelson's a strong Democrat. Get out there and vote on August 9. And the others are strong Democrats, too. Get out there on August 9. Phone or break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Direct. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there's a bill coming up in North Carolina that I would not believe, but if you're upset about Roe v. Wade being overturned, you're upset, 5-4, by the way, the 6-3 was just to uphold the Mississippi statute, but 5-4 to overturn Roe v. Wade. Roberts didn't go along with that. There is now a bill in North Carolina that will, quote, authorize deadly force to stop an abortion. Authorize deadly force to stop an abortion. What the heck is going on down there? That's an invitation to shoot doctors. What does it mean to use deadly force to stop an abortion? Do you shoot the guy driving the cart of the woman going to the hospital? Do you shoot the doctor? There have been people that do this. This is not something to laugh about. And these doctors, some people have circulated their pictures with crosshairs on them. And there was a doctor killed that way. And there's another one killed down south. For a legislature to even think about or introduce a bill that would authorize deadly force to stop an abortion is an abomination. It's not only unconstitutional, and it's not only the depths of fascism, but it is just enshrining violence in our culture, and our culture should not be a violent culture. A culture should be a culture really should be a culture of progress, growth, business growth, intellectual growth, hope and freedom. We are turning back in. Whoever authored that thinks he's going to introduce it, or maybe he already has introduced it, should be thrown out of the legislature. I'd like to say he should be recharged, but you can put in virtually anything virtually anything. I mean, suppose you put in a bill that said you are authorized to use deadly force to stop somebody running against you from another party. Suppose you did that. Is that a criminal offense to put that bill in? Well, First Amendment lawyers would say no. I would say that is a criminal offense, and you can't say, okay, I'm going to kill somebody or advocate killing somebody, and if I do it on the floor of the legislature, it's okay. The point is, these are sick people. These Republicans are very sick people. There are very few mainstream Republicans who are standing up to denounce them. Very, very few. But the bill that's going in North Carolina, it's not going to pass, of course, I wouldn't think. I think the governor would veto it. I think that if it ever got through, courts would stop it. But it would authorize deadly force to stop an abortion without definition of how you do that. These are sick people, and what concerns me the most is that by even saying what I just said, reporting it out of North Carolina, that puts ideas in sick people's heads. Sick people, sick 18 and 19-year-olds, wannabes, a grudge against society, can't get a date, they'll do something. When you have the so-called pillars of society, and by that I don't mean in a social sense, but I mean it with respect, senators, congressmen, legislators, judges, advocating or even implying violence, you're destroying our society. Because you won't go out and shoot anybody, but there are plenty of disturbed people out there who look to you for example. And this is beyond disgusting, what is happening down in North Carolina. You know, one of the sad and odd things is that the Democrats are trying to do their best to do something to counter the Supreme Court. We do not, unfortunately, have the votes to codify Roe v. Wade. It'll pass the House, but in the Senate, every Republican will vote against it, and some Democrats, including Manchin and Sinema, would vote against codifying Roe v. Wade. We can't do it. But Nancy Pelosi is trying a different tack, really responding to some things that Justice Thomas said in his concurring opinion. And he hinted that the right to use contraceptives can be overturned by the state, if you believe that. So Nancy Pelosi is putting in a bill in the House that there is a right to use contraceptives. It's kind of sad and strange that we even have to talk like this. Very sad and strange in the modern era. But that's what she's doing. It'll pass the House. The word out of Washington, believe it or not, is that it may not pass the Senate. Moscow Mitch may filibuster it. There are not 10 senators to advance it. They're all going to go home and say, we fully support the use of contraceptives, but, this was just something to make Joe Biden look good. It's just something to make Nancy Pelosi look good. It's just something to make Chuck Schumer look good. And it won't get done. That is how disturbed the Republican Party is. And remember again, fascism, when I say fascism creeps in on little cat's feet, when Hitler took over in 1932, his party had the plurality. He made a deal with minority parties, and he went in, and he was jovial with them. He clapped them on the back in Berlin, and he said, I'm not going to do anything to hurt you. We just have to get this Versailles Treaty financial obligation off our backs. You have to give me power. You have to suspend the Reichstag for 4 years in my term. The Reichstag was their parliament or their Congress. That'd be like Trump coming in saying, just suspend Congress for 4 years. They said, fine. And then when he had power, he had the brown shirts and the SS go in, and they outlawed other parties. They murdered people who were the leaders of the other parties, and they went through the streets in anti-Semitic murders at Kristallnacht later in the decade, where they went and they broke all the windows businesses owned by Jewish people, pulled them out and murdered them, just kept murdering people. They were Nazis. Putin is a Nazi. And is a Nazi the way Stalin was a Nazi. They enjoy murdering people. Many of them get sexual satisfaction in violence and murder. There is a certain kind of person. Now, the Republican Party has not come to that extent yet. But when I say fascism creeps in on little cat's feet, fascism is not an ideology. You know, you can have a communist ideology where, even though they're all thieves and murderers, they'll at least say, I want people to own the means of production or something like that. You can say that there is a right-wing ideology that thinks we should have a monarch instead of a president. But fascism is simply a cult of personality where one man, and it's always a man, wants absolute power. He'll do anything to keep it, steal what he wants, rape what he wants, do what he wants. And he can't do it all by himself, so he delegates the right to commit sadistic acts. I mean, why do you think police officers in Moscow go through the streets beating people or giving interviews? Why do they do that? Because they get to exercise power over someone and beat them. And that is delegated from the guy, Putin, ultimately, who loves to beat and be sadistic towards other people. That should not be happening in the United States. You know, George Washington, at the end of his second term, 1798, actually 1796 was the end of his second term, could easily have stayed on. There's nothing in the Constitution back then, and there wasn't until after Roosevelt, that said you could only have two terms. Roosevelt had four terms. Everybody wanted him to stay on. They said, we have nobody of your stature. Some people said, declare yourself a monarch, you're King George I of the United States, and be a benevolent monarch. And he was very wise. He said, no, we're going to have a president, we're going to have a republic, not a monarchy. Number two, it's not healthy to stay in more than two terms, 8 years. It can go to your head. So I'm going to step down voluntarily. And some of the greatest philosophers in Europe at the time said, that was the most astonishing and the most liberal and the most important act in politics in history. No man before that ever voluntarily stepped down. That's why we have the peaceful transition of power. That is what is at risk today. That is what I mean when I say fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. Creeps in one briefcase at a time, one lawyer at a time, one brief at a time, one decision at a time, one judge at a time. That is happening right now. Get out and vote August 9. Get out and vote in November. Spread the word. Do not attack each other internally. Do not attack the Democratic Party. Don't attack Republicans per se. It is the QAnon fascist right in the Republican Party alone. Coming to the end of the show, great call-ins and always. Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today. Carnation.